Good morning. If I were to ask you to describe the perfect place, your favorite place, where would it be? Maybe it's a vacation spot. Maybe it's your room. For me, it's a river in Montana. And every time you turn a bend, there's a new vista of beauty. And you put a fishing pole in my hand, and that's a pretty idyllic day. God is going to describe for us his perfect place this morning. A place that Jesus said almost 2,000 years ago he was going to prepare for those who love him. So let's read about it and enjoy it. In Revelation chapter 21. Really appreciated the worship this morning, the songs that turn our eyes to this wonderful place. So I will read from Revelation 21, verses 9 through 22, verses 5. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it. And the lamp, its lamp, is the Lamb. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. God bless his reading of the word. We are looking with eyes of faith at a breathtaking place that's coming out of heaven. And I am trying to make this work. We meet one of the angels. As usual, the angels play such a key role in the book of Revelation. From the beginning to the end, they are assisting John. And this angel goes all the way back to chapter 16, the bowls of wrath. One of the angels with the bowls of wrath is helping John and inviting him to come. And he says, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We remember in Revelation 17 and 18 that the city of Babylon was associated with a woman, the harlot. And in the same way, the city above that associates with us, God associates it with the bride, the wife of the Lamb. This is the Jerusalem from above. A lot of people go to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that's right here, right now. And it's got a lot of historical value. I'm sure it would be fascinating to visit it. But Paul corresponds the present Jerusalem with the law and the slaves of the law and Hagar. And Paul says, we have another Jerusalem that we should be focusing on, the Jerusalem from above. She is our mother, and that's what we get to talk about today. Last week I was teaching Ezekiel, and that explains, some of you are wondering, what is going on with his hair? Last week he had a beard, and now it's like all gone. It's not a midlife crisis. It's really an object lesson from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was commanded to take his beard and his hair. He shaved them, and he divided into thirds, and he burned a part of it, and he put a part of it into the wind, and he put a sword through a third of it. And so last week in Lubbock, Texas, we did that with my hair. We went to the parking lot, we burned some of it, we sorted some of it, and we put it into the wind to represent what would happen to Israel. And I hope they remembered that. I'm sure that I will. But what's interesting about Ezekiel and Revelation, they both end with these amazing visions about a city that has similar characteristics. And Ezekiel's description of the city focuses on the temple, and John's description focuses on the city, because there is no temple in the city that John sees. We're going to look at some of the similarities and some of the important differences between those cities. The first similarity, like Ezekiel, John is carried away by the Spirit to a great and high mountain. Some think that this means in both visions are largely symbolic. I don't know about that. In both visions, there are a lot of measurements. And I find in the Bible that when God gives a lot of measurements, like for an ark, or a tabernacle, or a temple, he expects those things to be built, literally. So I look at this as really a literal thing that we're going to inhabit that has a lot of symbolic meaning. That's how I look at it. So first of all, we start with a description of the outside of the city. Sorry, Hannah, you're just going to... Yeah. Thank you, Hannah. So let's go to the next one. We have a wall. Let's keep going. Okay. So the wall has 12 gates in verses 12 through 14. And this is like the wall that Ezekiel sees in his city. It's a square city with 12 gates. And there's an angel at each gate. And each of the gates has the names of Israel, the names of the tribe, each tribe of Israel over each gate. And we see in this bride, in really this end picture of God's people, the church in Israel, believing Israel together. We see the tribes of Israel, and we see the apostles of the church. Okay? The 12 angels. Okay? Next. And we see 12 foundation stones. I don't know if you can see in this picture. This picture is a picture of the Western Wall in the present Jerusalem. And it's actually underground. There are tunnels and catacombs that you can tour underneath Jerusalem. And this is a tour, and they are really putting their hands on the bottom part of the Western Wall. And if you could see in the way back, there's a guy that you can just hardly see. And he has his hand on the wall, and there's a guy in the front who has his hand in the wall. And the span between those two guys is one foundation stone. One stone underneath the wall, the Western Wall of Jerusalem. If you can see how huge that is, and you see on top are smaller stones. So this city is going to have foundation stones, which are going to have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And here we see multiple times how the Lord Jesus is referred to. And he keeps coming back to the Lamb. He's not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not Creator God. He is the Lamb, always focusing our attention to his identity as our sacrifice. The one given up for our sin. The one who used his own blood to purchase our ticket into this city. These are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, next we'll look at the measurements of the city. And I apologize for the NASB reading, because I was looking for another Bible, but I'm teaching out of the NASB. They really don't use the original numbers because they're trying to help you by converting them into numbers, into measurements that we understand, yards and miles. But the original numbers are important, and so we'll talk about those. But first of all, it's laid out as a square. The square, I just have noticed how often the square comes up in Ezekiel and in Revelation. The square, the city in Ezekiel is also square. The temple is square. The court in front of the temple is square. The Holy of Holies in Solomon Temple is square. Squares are important to God. And that got me thinking, what are we supposed to learn about God from a square? And I just really get two things. First of all, a square is a perfect shape. It's the same on every side. The angles are always the same. And secondly, it doesn't change. No matter how big you make it, the sides are always the same. The angles are always 90 degrees. It is perfect. God is perfect, and he doesn't change. We have these measurements. So let's look at the measurements as they are in the original. Let's keep going. So we have 12,000 stadia, which are converted into miles for Americans. It's the New American Standard Bible. But we want to remember the importance of 12. We talked about 12 in Revelation 7. The 12,000 from each tribe were sealed to go through the tribulation. And each tribe of Israel is represented there. And here you have each side of the city is 12,000 stadia. And the walls are 144 cubits, which is 12 times 12, just like the 144,000 in Revelation 7 and 14. And they meet the Lamb. It's a number of governance. When God wants to start a new kingdom, he often starts with 12. When Ishmael was sent off from Abraham, he had 12 sons who became the 12 princes of what are now the Arab lands. And then Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, had 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, starting something new. When Jesus came and brought his kingdom on earth, he chose 12 apostles. And now we're starting the new kingdom of the new heaven and the new earth. And we have 12 gates, and all of these 12s keep coming out. All right. Let's keep going. So let's talk about the materials of the city. The wall was of jasper. That's a stone with layers. Jasper is the dark red in that stone. Jasper is a dark red stone. Only in this wall, it's clear. Look for the Lord. That's our theme, isn't it, in this book? Look for the Lord. Why would the walls be dark red? I can only think of the blood of the Lamb that purchased tickets for us to be in that city. Just a constant reminder. Every time you look at the wall, you see red. And you remember the blood of the Lamb that was shed to get us in. The city is of gold. Next. 1 Peter 1:18. Reminds us, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's interesting. I put that verse in to talk about the jasper walls, but it also talks about gold. So the gold of the city isn't as important as the blood that redeems us. But the gold is all around. And you remember in the tabernacle, the gold is all around representing God's presence, right? And the gold is going to be something that you just walk on. Something that people spend their lives slaving for gold, for physical wealth. It's going to be something you walk on in the streets of gold. Okay, the city of gold. The next material. Okay, there's a view of gold. Go ahead. Jasper walls, golden city. We go back to the foundation stones, these huge stones that are going to be at the base of these walls. The New American Standard says 1,500 miles, somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 miles. Huge walls, a huge city. And I forgot to talk about kind of the first question that came into my mind when I started studying this. Why walls? Walls are for protection, normally. The walls of a city are to protect it. But there's no need for protection in this city. The gates are going to be open all day long and no night. So all the time, the gates are open. But we talked about the importance of boundaries. You know, they've done studies with kids in playgrounds, and they've tried playgrounds without fences, kind of like, oh, let's be open and free. And they found that the kids in the playgrounds without fences tended to congregate in the center because they didn't know how far they could go out. And then you put the fences, and then they just scatter around because they have a safe boundary. So these walls maybe represent the boundaries that God has, knowing that we're not just scattered without him. He's going to be there. We're going to be there inside the city or outside, as we'll see later on. Next slide. Here are the stones slide from Rick Bellis, who talked about these stones back in Revelation 4 that represent each of the foundation stones. I'm not going to go into all of the stones, but just the idea of permanence and beauty represented by these stones. If you can picture these huge foundation stones with these precious stones adorning each one. Okay, next. The 12 gates were 12 single pearls. Now, we talked about this. Some people think that this means made of pearl. Other people think that the gates are actually these huge pearls, all right? You don't have to worry about oysters, because God can make pearls without oysters, right? You don't have to worry about the size of the oysters slithering around the New Jerusalem. Just these huge pearls form each of these gates. And that to me is important. Why? Let's go to the next slide. So there's an angel. If you remember, there's an angel by each gate. There's a name of a tribe of Israel on each gate. And there are these pearl gates. And this shows it just partially open, but let's go to the next one. All right. I couldn't find a picture with the angel and the pearl and the open gate. But if you can picture this, the gates are always open. They're never closed. So these pearls are like these huge stones. And you have the round entrance. And you have the angel. Does that remind you of anything? Reminds me of an empty tomb. Reminds me of what the women saw when they came looking for Jesus. And to me, it's a beautiful picture of life and the resurrection and the power that is going to fill this city. It is a city without death. It is a city of life and resurrection. So that's why the pearls are important to me. And in this city, next slide, there's going to be no streets of gold. We talked about that. Next slide. No temple. No temple. We've talked about what the temple did in the Old Testament. It protected the people of God from his wrath. And we've seen whenever the temple in heaven in the book of Revelation was shown, there's judgment coming out of it. There's thunder and lightning. But in the New Jerusalem, there's no condemnation. There's no more judgment. There's no more wrath. It's all spent. And there's just fellowship. And so the Lamb can be the temple. The Lamb can be where we dwell. The Lamb himself, in his presence, we're just going to hang out and be there. And we'll have jobs, as we'll see later. It's not a harps of gold scene. You know, there's just one scene in Revelation that somebody's playing harps and everyone goes, oh, heaven, so boring, harps, blah, 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 right? Well, imagine if you showed a Martian one scene of life on Earth and the person sleeping. And the Martians say, oh, everyone sleeps on Earth, blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. No, heaven is filled with these beautiful dynamic scenes of cities and nations and work happening. Work is not the curse of Genesis. The thorns and the problems with work. But this is a productive place where people get to serve God all day long. And they don't have to sleep. It's awesome. No temple. No need for a temple because there's no judgment. Go ahead. Next slide. There's a new power source. Verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. We could have appreciated that Thursday night. There was a power outage here during Awanus, and it was kind of dark in here. But that's not going to be a problem. No power outages because even if something happens to the sun, there's no problem because the sun isn't the source of power anymore. It's like Genesis 1. Remember, God said, let there be light. There wasn't a sun yet. Sun wasn't until the fourth day. But he said, let there be light. He was their light. He will be our light. There's going to be a new power source, the Lord himself. Next. Nations. Now, this was a puzzle for me. Where do the nations come from? You see this city come down out of the sky, and these gates are open, and then nations are coming from the earth. And I can't really explain all that to you, but what it tells me is the importance of nations from Genesis 11 all the way through eternity. Nations, we think of nations as countries with geographical borders. But that's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about nations. Nations is always talking about people groups. And it says to me that God is going to keep the distinctive things that we have in our different people groups, in culture. And he is going to glorify himself through those things. That's always been his purpose from Genesis 1, was to fill the earth with his glory. And how was he going to do that? In Genesis 11, at the Tower of Babel, he divides people through languages into nations, and they scatter. And the idea was that they were supposed to take God's glory and scatter it around the earth. And Israel would be the nation of glory that the nations would reflect. Of course, they disobeyed, they rebelled, and they became like the nations. Instead of becoming like the great nations like the great nation of God that the nations could imitate. But in the new heaven and in the new earth, God will fulfill his purpose of spreading his glory throughout the whole world. And the nations will come in and out of the city, and they will bring their glory. Their glory is new creatures. Whatever productive things they do in their nations, they're going to bring those fruits. Just like the angels in chapters 4 and 5 the elders are casting their crowns before the Lamb. And that's the idea we have here of kings of nations reflecting God's glory. Okay, next. And they shall walk by the light of the Lamb, and there will be no need of sun or moon. Go ahead. And the king shall bring their glory. Go ahead. Who can't enter? Well, there's no one here who can't enter, because the great white throne judgment is over and the condemnation is over. But even in this next to last chapter of Revelation, God is still calling. He's still warning. He's saying, if you're involved in these things, you need to repent. That's the key word in the book of Revelation, one of the key words, repent, turn. There's still time to turn and to be in this heavenly city. So those who, next slide, are unclean, next slide, practice abominations, next slide, practice lying. Those were us. We've all been there. We've all been doing those things. But God provides something called the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, like Rick talked about a few weeks ago, Revelation 20. You have to understand that a price was paid for you to get into this city. And you have to realize that you needed that. You needed that payment. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And our righteous acts are like dirty, filthy rags before the Lord. So our stuff is not going to get us in. We need the blood of the Lamb. We need the red blood that was shed for us. We need to realize that God sent his Son to die for us, to be a sacrifice, to be the Lamb. And we need to make the decision to follow him. We talked to people yesterday in Oakland. We went to a homeless camp. We gave out some things. And it's amazing how many people in these homeless camps know the gospel. They know about what Jesus did, but they don't connect it with themselves. People know that he died, that he carried sin, and that he rose again from the dead. But they don't realize that I need to come to him and accept that gift and follow him. It's not a disengaged thing that's out there. It needs to come into my life. I need to bring it in by acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Okay, let's go to inside the city. This is really beautiful. The river. We talk about the river coming out of the Garden of Eden, and there's a river coming out of this city, and its source is the throne where God and the Lamb are. There's a river coming out of the city in Ezekiel, coming out of the temple that Ezekiel describes at the end of his book. And this river is getting deeper as he goes away from the temple. So what does the river represent? Well, Randy read last week a few verses from John that talk about the water. And I want to just focus on this one, these words of Jesus in John 7. This is at the great feast in front of the temple. So Jesus is at the temple, and he's calling out to whoever is thirsty to come to him. And he says this: "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive." So God is really giving us John is giving us a detailed explanation of what Jesus is talking about, which he usually doesn't do when he speaks in parables. And Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, then rivers are going to flow out. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's going to flow out of you. And we have this picture in the New Jerusalem of God the Father and the Lamb, both in a throne, and the river coming out, the Spirit coming out from them. And what excites me about this picture is you don't have to wait for the New Jerusalem to have this happen to you. If you made the decision I just talked about to follow Jesus Christ, you yourself will be sealed with the self-same Spirit. The Spirit of God will be in you, and if you walk with him, you will display the fruits of his life in you. Just like the river coming out was healing and growth for the tree of life. And people can experience the fruits of God from you. His joy, his love, his patience, his kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. People can experience God if you walk with him. If I walk with him, they can see this river. Okay, let's go to the next. And we have the tree of life. In Genesis, we have the river. And in Genesis, we have the tree of life. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden before they could eat the tree of life because they had already sinned. They had disobeyed God by eating of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by eating of that fruit, God protected them. If they eat of the fruit of the tree of life, then they live forever separated from God. So God protected them from that tree. But now that problem of sin has been dealt with by the Lamb who sits on the throne. And now the tree of life is available for all. And it's got a fruit for each month. And there's a tree like this in Ezekiel also by the river. And it's in the middle of a gold street. So I couldn't find a picture for you of this. But if we could just kind of put this all together. In Central Asia, where we used to live, they had these huge old Soviet boulevards that were wider than or as wide as a football field. And on both sides would be the streets, all right, going in both directions. And then in the middle you had this park. And in the middle of the park you had a drainage which would be flowing with water, which is flowing with water right now, I'm sure, because it's spring and the snow's melting. And so you have a river and you have trees on both sides and then you have the street. And it's really lovely to walk through these parks and to enjoy the river that's flowing through. And the tree of life is coming on both sides of this river. And you can drink of it, of its crystal water properties. And it says that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of nations. Again, the reference to the nations coming in and out. I don't know if I'm going to be outside or inside one of the nations or one of the... I don't know, but it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. I love to think about this river and these trees. And if your favorite place was had like mine had a river and trees, then you can identify that this is going to be beautiful. To be in fellowship with one another and to be in fellowship with the Lord. in this kind of a place. Okay? And next we have, in verse 3, the Lord and his bondservants. And if you're excited at this point, you really still haven't come to the best part of this picture. The best part of this picture is the face-to-face part. Let's go to the next slide. I'll read 3 and 4. There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. Okay? They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So, there's two aspects. There's three things going on here. There's two aspects of this that we can experience now, but there's only one aspect that we have to wait to get there. And that's the face-to-face. But we can serve God right now. We can walk with him right now. And we don't have his name on our forehead, but we're sealed by the Holy Spirit right now. And if you walk in that light, if you walk with God right now, you're going to be able to appreciate better seeing him face-to-face then. Jesus talked about this all the time in the parables he told. If you, the guy with 10 talents that used them well, he's going to get 10 cities. All right? You get more to govern. You get more responsibility. And the people in this city are going to be serving the Lord. They're going to be worshiping and serving and ministering. And that's something that we have a chance to do right now. And it says in the end, they will reign with him forever and ever. Ezekiel's city is a city on this planet, right? A lot of people think during the millennial kingdom, there's the Dead Sea, and there are landmarks that identify it as this earth. But this is a new heaven and a new earth and a new city. And this is where we will be, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, forever and ever with him. So this week, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, of course, that would be my prayer for you today to make the decision to follow the Lord Jesus, to believe the good news that he gave his life for you, and to follow him and get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, just reflect on what we've been talking about this week and realize that the way that you serve him and the way that you walk with him this week, it's going to influence the way that you appreciate him in the new city. Let's pray. Father God, we just praise you for this beautiful scene that words really don't do it justice, but we thank you for giving it to us in a form that we can partially understand, and we just praise you that a day is coming when we will understand it all the way, and you will be there, and we will be with you. We look forward to it, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, in his name. Amen.